Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, you've been on my waiting for the video portion of our show, and he's back, Captain Brett Bartlett. He owns and founded Exumber Defense Solutions at exumberdefense.com. 32 years, and he makes me say this next part, 32 years of exemplary police department experience, and he always likes me to throw the performance word in there too, and his wife asked me to throw that in there too. So anyhow, so there you go. We've also got Lieutenant Jeff Weninger, former LAPD commander, and he is also the author of the upcoming book On Thin Ice at onthinicebook.com. more information coming up about that and a special announcement in just a second. And then we got the dynamic duo. These are the two Secret Service guys that the national news outlets, they do not even allow them to appear together. You are about to find out why. We've got Rich Deripoli and Frank Loveridge. So thank you guys, both former special agents in charge for the Secret Service. And we have got some stories that are stacked up that they are absolutely going to knock out of the park. So I can't wait to start off with that. Look, a shout out to our sponsors. Guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this show to you. We have Gauls at Gauls.com, our title sponsor. ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming this live show to 1.5 million people right now. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and also FishOrlandoBass.com. And look, Brett and I have been talking about this one. We even did a commercial that's on the Boss Hog Radio Network, and Zach with FishOrlandoBass.com, he has a fishing charter. So when you're taking the wife and the kids, or in Brett's case, the grandkids to Disney, leave the car in gear, put the foot on the brake, let the wife and the kids, grandkids get out, and then go hook up with Zach in Orlando at FishOrlandoBass.com and do the bass fishing charter. And if you're feeling very adventurous, do the alligator hunting. That is a catch and relocating of alligators. It's quite the feat. In fact, I would pay to get video of Rich and Frank doing that, as long as they did it together. And the alligator is what I'm talking about. You know, that would be worth its weight in gold. So anyhow, also a shout out to Brian Birch with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thank you for carrying our content. Also Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. And also we've got our own Travis Shates, lawofficer.com. So thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now look, we've got a special announcement coming up from Jeff Weninger. And then we're going to be talking about FBI Director Kash Patel says that the assassin texted his plan to kill Charlie Kirk. We've got some other information about that. Then we have Secret Service faces new scrutiny after agent cheers Charlie Kirk's murder. And we've also got Secret Service missed a Glock in a bag at the Trump golf course, but we're not talking about a year or two ago. We're talking a couple weeks ago. We got a lawsuit is being filed against the State Department because they have not turned over a request for information about the Trump assassination attempt in Florida. And then we got Austin Police Department. They have body cam of a shootout with an armed suspect that injured a police officer and a female. This is one of those videos that you guys are going to have to, you're going to have to see. We have body cam, another story, San Francisco officer shooting a suspect who lunges at him with scissors. That's going to be an interesting discussion. We have drone footage showing fatal shooting of a 72-year-old who pointed a gun at police officers. And I think it's fairly safe to say a sniper took him out. And then we got police release body cam and 911 calls before two officers shoot a guy that points a BB gun at them. So if you guys are ready, let's go in and start it off with Jeff Weninger. He's all dressed up. And guys, look, let's do the air applause because I never see Jeff dressed up. He's got a picture for the book and everything. It's all nice and fancy, tie and suit. But this is like really special. He's saying it's because the Secret Service dudes are on the show, but they don't wear ties typically. So Jeff, we know it's just something special. So anyhow, you the floor is yours, Jeff Weninger. I know you have a special announcement, so the floor is yours.
I'd like to start out by saying, thank you, Chip, for giving me the opportunity to have the exposure of the reach of your audience. When it comes to book sales, it's about the length of the reach that you have, and you've provided that for me. So I'm forever grateful for that. Thank you. But today is the day. I mean, I've worked on my book for about 3 years, and today's the official release date. And you can find the book on online at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or anywhere books are sold. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to thenicebook.com. And you can actually order it there, either in a hard copy, paperback, and there's also the option of an electronic version. So, you know, it talks about my personal background, my professional experiences, and my practical insights relative to what I think needs to be done for law enforcement to be successful moving forward in the 21st century. And it's a good read for just about everybody, whether you're a suburban housewife or you're in law enforcement, either active or retired, or you're a legislator. So I encourage you to pick up the book.
Now, Jeff, our pleasure, my pleasure personally to do that for you. And you bring some great value and content to the show. You know, we're getting a lot of call-ins. A lot of females are calling in. You've got that voice and they want to know if there is a version of that book where you read in your voice. You know, you got that nice soothing voice. Even Frank's wife called me and asked me to ask you if you had a version of that book that you could read that they could get and hear it in your own voice.
You know, I think the listeners also need to know that after last show, you asked me if there was a picture book version of it.
Oh,
personally, for
hurt.
You.
But that hurt. That hurt. But that is, there was
lots
some truth
of bright
to
that. Colors.
Yeah.
Rainbows. Just rainbows.
Yeah. I actually will be going into a studio in about 2 or 3 months and reading it in my own voice, which will be challenging because I have dyslexia. So it'll take me some time, but I'll get through it.
Yeah, you're gonna grind it out. I love it. So guys, please support the book. Check it out. And on thinicebook.com. And as you said, also on Amazon as well. And so and a lot of different versions. And you've also still got the swag bags going and boxes and stuff. Do you want to throw any information about that in right now? Or I know you're gonna be announcing a winner, I think, on Thursday, right?
Right. We'll announce a winner every Thursday here live on your show. But since the book has gone live, it's changed a little bit. You don't join the email waiting list. You sign up to read the prologue for free. That's how you can enter. So that
wow,
has
that's
changed
great.
Now.
Cool. Great idea. All right. Well,
I just bought one on Amazon.
Oh, you did? Good for you. Yep. You got the moment with make sure the pictures are in the middle, Brett. I know you're going to go straight to the pictures like I do, and pictures are in the middle. You got to love that. All right.
Stop it.
All right. Well, look, hey guys, congratulations to Jeff Winninger. We'll be following and pushing that book. And he's going to start traveling soon too, to do all the book signings and stuff. I mean, it goes for the territory, right, Jeff? And I mean, you got a team of people and they're kind of telling you what to do and where to be and what time to get there. And so you've kind of lost control of your own life temporarily, you know? So I pray you get that back within a reasonable amount of time, but that should be fun. Not everybody gets to experience that. I am a little jealous. So good for you.
Oh, thank you. Where's
your first stop on the book tour, Jeff? Do we know where you're going first?
Oh, where I'm going first? Actually, next week I'm going to Vanderbilt University in Nashville.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm speaking to the law school there. And then in October, I'm going to be in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm speaking to 25 police executives with the sheriff's department there.
They found 25 that can read?
No. So Richie, I heard Richie has a book tour coming out. He's got a coloring book that he's been putting out. So that should be interesting.
It is. Right. It's every color except one, but I won't get into that.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, the other day when I was sitting here watching the news, Fox News, and who's on there but Rich? And my son's sitting there, and I said, oh, you know, I know him. And so he goes, Rich, Stara. So then I pronounce it for him, and he's like, Stara, whatever.
They never get it right.
I haven't written a book, so nobody cares.
So Jeff's book is good because it creates a conversation, right? He's that's why it would be good for police leaders and even you know, law schools, academies, and required reading for certain groups and academia, really. You know, it brings the conversation to the table that needs to be had. So good luck with that. I think that's great, and we all should be pushing and talking about it, guys. There has been some up-to-date news involving the horrible event that happened with Charlie Kirk. And, you know, at TampaFreePress.com, at TampaFP.com, the FBI Director Cash Patel says the assassin texted his plan to kill Charlie Kirk. I will not say the assassin's name on air, but the FBI, who we were just talking about a minute ago, by the way, off camera, Director Cash Patel announced Monday that his agencies obtained a chain of text messages where a man with the subject's name you know, I'm not going to say it, but they're, this is the way they phrased it. Someone using the suspect's name, which I'm sure they're sure it's him, but they're just discounted it that way, allegedly told a friend that he planned to kill Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk. And during an appearance on Fox and Friends, Patel stated that the FBI received a significant amount of cellular data, including text messages between the suspect and his live-in partner, who's they identify as Lance Twiggs, in record time. And this is the one that's transitioning from a male to a female. In the messages, the suspect allegedly expressed a desire to kill Kirk due to what he described as a hatred for the conservative activist's view. And or view, so it's really putting him into a pool with other people. I know we got 10 seconds left, guys. We're gonna hold that thought. Commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. You know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online options, it's like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens of organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, they've got gift cards. We give away a couple every week on this show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. And I was going to ask Brett if they have any specials going on at Gauls that he's aware of right now. I just got a pair of Danner boots. They were on sale, and now they've got all kinds of sales, like they're waiving shipping costs. It's an amazing opportunity. So check it out at Gauls.com. Now we're going to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, my favorite product they have, it's called the glove. But we're going to be talking about MyTech. And protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, they provide advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. They're Eagle Protect Nitrile gloves. They offer four-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. They continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's compliantechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection, compliantechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, and we've got Secret Service SACs Rich Steripoli and Frank Loveridge. So thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. You know, we left off talking about, you know, a FBI update on the shooter involving, you know, Charlie Kirk and everything that's unfolding. And look, it's a sad story. Hearts and prayers, you know, go out to his family. And this is just much bigger than Charlie Kirk or even his family. This has been an attack on conservative, like-minded people and on free speech. And and this is a worldwide thing. It's not just limited to just the United States. And we're talking about them getting information about some conversations between the suspect and his live-in partner. It says that he had text message exchange with another individual where he claimed that he had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk and that he was going to do it because of his hatred for what Charlie stood for. And this is what Kash Patel was saying. They say that he, and from interview with family and friends, he embraced a far left ideology and he had grown increasingly hateful in recent years because he certainly was brought up in a conservative family. There was forensic evidence as well indicating that he wrote a now destroyed note stating that he was going to take the opportunity to kill Kirk. So just some sad story, but now getting this information, and we had talked about it, you know, last week when we started covering the story, that almost certainly people knew about this in advance. And there were tells and there were things that people could have done to help prevent this. And it always seems to be the case, does it not, gentlemen, where people don't necessarily take the action that is required in order to prevent something like this. And here we end up talking about not just an attempted tragedy, but the one that was that went through. Guys, commentary on this? Anybody as far as the update from Kash Patel and the FBI? Frank Loveridge.
Well, Chip, I think the first thing we need to do is take a deep dive into everyone that was on social media with him. And also to look back, and I know they're doing this now. I listened to Dan Bongino, and I listened to Cash Patel, and I know that they're working really hard at this, but it's very important. You realize that 2 weeks before the actual assassination, they had cars showing up at this apartment complex, and the neighbors were suspicious of them. They had out-of-state plates, so we saw a lot of activity going on. We also saw the what happened the day after, where he was making jest of it, talking about someone turning himself in, and then he would get part of the reward money. I mean, look, there's a group of people out there right now that were co-conspirators in my eyes, because they knew what was going on and they didn't do anything about it. This is a culture that's out there. There is an assassination culture that has been identified. This is what we're looking at nowadays, and this is what the FBI needs to make sure they do their due diligence and identify these people, if anyone was part of this. Look, we know that we had a shooting that took place right after a question was asked about transgender shooters. And this came out exactly at the same time that the fatal shot was made. So we need to look into that and find out if there was anyone in the audience that was spotting this and sending that information to the shooter. I mean, this is something that needs to be done. We've got the shooter, but we need to get everyone that was involved in this and send the right message to these people.
Thanks, Frank. Rich?
Yeah, I'll pick right up on that as well. A number of people have asked me, do we think the transgender boyfriend had any responsibility or any knowledge of this? And my answer is, of course he does, right? You've got to follow up on that lead, absolutely. The transgender community is incredibly violent. They're mentally unbalanced, and they're prone to doing things with each other that are anti-conservative, anti-everything that Charlie Kirk stood for and was speaking about. So of course that lead has to be followed up. As a matter of fact, the actual shooter, and again, Chip, whose name I won't mention, I agree with you, and I'm even hesitant to label him as an assassin. This kid is nothing more than a common everyday street thug. He's a mutt, right? He went out and took that shot because his boyfriend and that whole transgender ideology coerced him and probably put him up to doing this, because after all, it's Charlie Kirk appeared at a Mormon campus in Utah. There's no way some guy's going to show up in a dress, just dressed like a gopher, on that campus and scout the place out. So they sent this guy in to do the pre-planning and ultimately take that shot. I would not shut anything down yet, and this investigation has to continue. Yes, we've got the shooter, but we didn't get everybody that's involved yet.
Wow. All right, good stuff. Brett, you want to close us out on this?
Yeah, this is a JFK level thing going on. They need to dig, and they need to dig hard and not stop digging. You know, even years after the JFK shooting, we're finding things out. Nothing is as simple as it seems, even though we like to believe that a person of no consequence caused something of great consequence. But it's not like that. I just don't see it. You know, as cops, we're always going, no, that's bull crap. There's something else out there. We just need to dig it up, do the investigation.
Well, speaking of digging, we've got realclearpolitics.com, which Rich turned me on to, and then Tampa Free Press at tampafe.com for this next story. Now, look, the weird thing, Rich, is that I went to Real Clear Politics. You hooked me up with them, and I really appreciate it. And they give you news from conservative, liberal sources. It's fantastic. So, but they have some of their own stuff. So this was actually their own stuff. Secret Service faces new scrutiny after agent cheers Charlie Kirk's murder. And I swear that they actually had the name of the Secret Service agent in there. And today, when I go in there and I'm doing my show prep, and I'm copying and pasting and getting everything gone. I mean, you can look at the article, you cannot scroll, you can't get the information. It is like, It's the weirdest thing. I can't get the information now out of it. And it was also picked up by the Tampa Free Press, but it does not list the name of the agent that's been put on administrative leave, which is just a weird point. I thought I would share with you. So that's the first flag for me. So the other article, the title is basically about the same. Secret Service employee placed on leave over social media post in reference to Charlie Kirk. So the article says that a U.S. Secret Service employee has been placed on administrative leave following a code of conduct violation stemming from a social media post about the assassination of political commentator Charlie Kirk. It said that it was shared on Facebook, allegedly suggesting that Kirk deserved to be murdered, prompting swift action from the agency. and widespread condemnation from government leaders. It said in a statement to the Tampa Free Press, the Secret Service confirmed the employee's administrative leave and the initiation of an investigation. It stated that the U.S. Secret Service will not tolerate behavior that violates our code of conduct. The employee is immediately or was immediately put on administrative leave and an investigation has begun. And the incident came to light after Senator Marsha Blackburn released a letter that she'd written to the agency demanding the agent's immediate termination. Now, guys, another commercial break sneaking up on us. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And, you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, and now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, meaning that you can start getting your hands on the primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. We've got Rich Steripoli and Frank Loveridge from the U.S. Secret Service, and everybody's retired. And look, we appreciate everybody watching the show. We have been talking about some latest updates, and we're talking about a story that is close to the U.S. Secret Service. So, guys, any more commentary on the first story, because we have another Secret Service one that is waiting in the wings for. So if not, all right, we will jump on the next one then. This next one, realclearpolitics.com. Again, Richie, Secret Service missed Glock in a bag at the Trump golf course. And this article was written by Susan Crabtree. So look, the article starts off about Trump wanting to show how safe DC is, right? And Rich, I don't want to steal your thunder. So this actually, when I'm reading this article and I'm doing it, Rich was actually contacted over the media sources to give commentary on this, which he did, and he did a great job. So just to kind of whet the appetite, there was a group of people that they had their hands full with in the D.C. area. And not a lot of time was given, a lot of notice was given that Trump was going to go to a certain location, but these people showed up. So I'll let Richie talk about that if he wants to. And also, they mentioned that there was a security breach about 2 weeks ago at the Trump National Golf Course in Sterling, Virginia. So we're not talking about Florida. And this is only 2 weeks ago. A club member was able to get a semi-automatic Glock handgun through security checkpoints into the club. And so they say there was no threat to Trump. And look, the guy was a good guy, because when he realized that the firearm was left in his bag, but he had gone through and had it searched by Secret Service, a uniform division, he goes up to them and says, "Hey guys, I just want to let you know, FYI, my bad, this is my gun was in the bag, but you guys searched it. You didn't find the gun and stuff." And they did an interview. They did an investigation. They said that they gave admin leave to a uniform division employee that they actually determined had searched that bag. And then there's other concerns, and there's some quotes in here from Rich that I don't want to steal his thunder, because I want you to hear that from his mouth. But there are, is our Secret Service getting it done? We talk about the Deputy Director Matt Quinn and other people, Karan, however you pronounce that. I'll let Rich get into it. But where is our Secret Service at today, or I should say the new Secret Service, or is it? Rich Steripoli.
It's nowhere near where it should be, right? These two incidents you talked about, they're not from years ago. These are recent incidents, right? And they're each about 2 weeks apart and within the last month. So to answer your question, no, the Secret Service is nowhere near prepared to provide the adequate level of security that they should be providing to the current president of the United States. You know, having been on PPD for as long as I was for a couple of presidents, I can tell you there is no excuse for the Secret Service not having the assets and the manpower in place, particularly when the president is going somewhere not very far from the White House or to a place that he frequents, more frequently than others. It would not be unheard of if the Secret Service had only had a few minutes heads up that the president was going somewhere, or the agent in charge or someone on the president's detail to simply say to the president, "Mr. President, you got to hold for 20 minutes," or to say to the chief of staff, "Hey, sit tight for for an hour so we can get our people in place. Trump is not going to overrule that. The guy almost got killed in Butler over a year ago. So that's not the issue. The issue here with this incident on the golf course in Virginia at Trump National was that this uniform division officer had set up a checkpoint, was supposed to be hand searching bags and people. And he or she simply didn't do it and missed a loaded gun that was in a backpack that was being brought into the club. And were it not for the owner of that backpack bringing this to light, we would never have known about it. Talk about a failure of someone to do their job. How do you unzip a bag? This is a golf course, a high-end golf course. This isn't like this, your Yankee Stadium and you got 50,000 people online. This is probably two or three people, and this officer just didn't check the bag. No excuse for that when you're an employee at the Secret Service.
Wow. Now, in the article, they asked you what you would do if you were in charge, and you were talking about putting a magnetometer at the entrance of all the golf courses and all kinds of stuff. So,
listen, there are certain places you know that President Trump is going to go. Look at the setup they have permanently set up at Trump Tower in Manhattan. You need to do and replicate the same level of security at these golf courses. He goes there all the time. Set them up, leave them there, and turn them on when he goes. That would have solved most of this problem. I can't explain why this uniform division officer didn't do her job or his job, but it's as simple as that. The job wasn't done.
All right. Excellent. Excellent point. Frank Loveridge.
So I just want to say one thing. If your audience doesn't know what an off-the-record movement is, an OTR is a movement where we don't send out a full advance team. We don't send out all the assets we normally would because it was a spur-of-the-moment decision to go there so that if anybody was going to do any harm to the president, they wouldn't have known we were going to that location. Well, these OTRs at this point in time in the situation that we're living in, the world we're living right now, are unacceptable. Look at Mar-a-Lago, the Trump International Golf Course. This was an OTR. They did not have an advance team out there at the same level they would normally have. They didn't have proper perimeter control. These are all things that weren't done. These OTRs have got to stop. That's how Ryan Ruth got the drop on us. And I got to tell you, it's going to continue to happen if we don't start doing a better job on our advance work.
Thank you, gentlemen, for weighing in. Important stuff. And we got some people, some online commentary, you know, on the stream as well. So thank you guys for participating. We've got, you know, some more stuff coming. We've got an update story, which is pretty interesting, I think. I'm glad I have you guys on the show. Tampa Free Press again at tampafp.com. We've got a request. It's a lawsuit filed against the State Department, actually, over the Trump assassination attempt that happened in Florida. So now we are going on some dated stuff. But a security advocacy group, they filed this lawsuit against the U.S. Department of State, alleging that the agency failed to respond to four Freedom of Information Act requests concerning records related to the assassination attempt in Florida on President Trump by Ryan, by our bad guy. I don't want to give him any extra publicity as well. The lawsuit filed by the Center to Advance Security in America, in the United States District Court of the District of D.C., they claim the Department of State has, quote, wrongfully withheld non-exempt agency records for over 355 days, which violates its statutory obligations. Now, the complaint states that the release of these records, it is in the public interest. It would inform the public about the government's communications with the, you know, with the bad guy. And it gives a history of the request and the ignoring of the request and stuff. It's pretty alarming, you know, to me. So, and this is the new administration, right? So I would have thought, I mean, with Biden, I would expect nothing less, you know, but that's not what we're talking about. Any commentary on this? Rich, you want to start us off?
Yeah, one thing I'll say, listen, if they're trying to retrieve records from the State Department related to, we'll call them the Florida shooter, it probably has some nexus to conversations between the U.S. government here as well as the Ukrainian government and certain other foreign intelligence assets and services, because we're still looking for an explanation of how does this guy go from, you know, selling junk and waxing surfboards all of a sudden showing up in the Ukraine and then making his way back here where he becomes known as the Florida shooter. Surely some intelligence agencies and assets were tracking this and knew about it. And that's the kind of documentation that they're trying to get when you're talking about subpoenaing stuff through FOIA, through the State Department.
All right. Thank you. Well, guys, if you're ready for this, Brett, I want you. You have a knife that you want to show up here, and it's a Tedco knife. So if you can show us this knife and make sure, I know that it's an automatic knife, so I don't want to alarm our listeners, and I certainly don't want to upset YouTube, because, you know, every time we break out a weapon and someone's holding the weapon, they'll, like, our stream might go off, our live stream might go off air. But you've got an automatic. Is it out the front or out the side, Brett?
This one's out the side, made by Tecto. It's a very, very solid, I would say it's a duty carry knife. It's got a little safety on it, so you don't go off in your pants. And it's heavy enough to be rugged, but not so heavy that it's going to be a burden to carry around. And there's not the slightest wiggle in that blade. So I'm kind of digging it. And everybody take a peek when you get time. Look up Tecto.
So it's T-E-K-T-O. You've got is the clip on there? How solid is the clip? And is there a glass break on it?
Yeah, and you can take the clip and move to the other side, depending on which hand you want to use. There's a glass breaker on the end of it. Very, very solid knife. All my other buddies are so jealous.
All right. I love it. So Brett, my next question is, how sharp is that knife? Can you demonstrate that, please?
No.
All right. I thought I would ask. So you never know. You never know. He gets worked up.
You're not going to trick me. Remember that last time?
Yeah. You still got the scar on your neck. Yeah, that's true. All right, guys. We've got about 56 seconds before we take our next commercial break. Let me go ahead. Look, we got a story with a video component. And for our Audible audience that are listening by maybe your favorite radio station or podcast, we realize that you can't really see what we're talking about. And we're not even showing on a live show a video anyhow. Just too many things can go wrong. But what we are going to be willing to do for you is we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. And if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at Leo Roundtable at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. Producer Will will put up a copy of the story of the video, and he will do it at 9 o'clock in the morning and put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys, and they'll pop up as we talk about them. It's a great way to watch the show. But before we go there, we're going to dig a commercial break real quick with gunlearn.com. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, it's law enforcement officers. We deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett, Take a Bow, or Attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. So if you're they got a great deal. If you're looking for a great deal, here it comes, guys. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, Dan O'Kelly, the founder, has created an opportunity where you can host a seminar for no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. We've got Frank Loveridge and Rich Steripoli from the Secret Service on. Thanks, guys, so much. And look, we're going to be talking about a story with a video component. We found it at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Austin Police Department body cam. It shows a shootout with an armed suspect that injured an officer and a female.
Hey, Austin Police, stop. Come here. You guys say this is your vehicle?
Yeah.
What's going on? Come here. Come out of the woods.
I need to go get my other shoes on.
No, you guys can come out of the woods real quick. Come over here. You're detained. You're not free to go.
I can't fucking see anything.
I know. That's why I got my flashlight. Get your hand out of your pocket, man.
What?
Get your hand out of your pocket.
Now, I'm telling you, this is wild how this goes down. Austin, Texas. So Austin police, they identified a man suspected of shooting an Austin police officer early Wednesday morning near Zilker Park. So police identified the suspect as a 30-year-old named Brandon Thompson. He ends up being charged with capital murder of a peace officer. I'm sorry, attempted capital murder of a peace officer, which is a first-degree felony, and then burglary of a residence, which is a first-degree felony, and he's still in custody. But that's not the only person he shot. So the incident happened around 4 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, and officers responded to reports. They say it's reports of a stolen car. But then we got an officer conducting a park curfew check, and he sees there's a tow truck there, and he's actually towing the stolen vehicle. So whether there was a report of a stolen vehicle or he's doing a curfew check and he runs the tag and it comes back with a hit, it doesn't really matter. So they're towing the stolen car, and while he's in the process of dealing this, the officer, we have two people emerging from a tree line in the woods. It's a male and a female, and the female is walking the dog on a leash, a small little dog. And so the officer's trying to talk him, hey, come over here, come on up. He doesn't know if they're connected to the car at this time. And he sees the guy has got his hand in his pocket, and he tells the guy to show his hand. And that's about the last communication, because the female is now between the officer and the bad guy, and she's walking the dog. And so you're watching the video, and you're watching the body cam, and you're kind of paying attention to her walking the stupid dog. And next thing you know, this guy raises the gun up, and he takes a shot at the cop. Not a good shot. He hits the female in the back of the head. She's not expected to live. I know, I see Jeff shaking his head back. It's just like, you know, and women, this is the perfect example why if you're going to date a dude that shoots, at least make sure he's a good shot, you know. So he takes her out in the back of the head. She goes down, and then he shoots the cop. And now the cop draws his weapon, returns fire, and informs radio, you know, dispatch that he's hit, but he's injured. We have another cop ends up taking that cop to the hospital to get treated, and bad guy temporarily gets away. He breaks into a home. Homeowner shoots him in the arm and in the leg, and he ends up going to the hospital, and that's kind of the way that it goes down. I'm kind of going through my show notes here. I think I pretty much got everything. The officer that got hit, he does a tactical reload. He does a mag dump, and then he does a tactical reload. So I was pretty impressed with how he performed and handled everything, and even being on the air after having been shot and stuff. I thought it was pretty impressive myself. Commentary on this one, Brett, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'm glad the officer is okay. I'm not worried about the other people. You know, when you tell a bad guy to pull his hands out of his pants, what do you expect is going to happen? How about this? And I've been preaching this for years. Freeze him in place. Tell the guy to turn around, face away from you. Then take your hands out of your pockets. At least if he spins on you, you've got that little bit of an edge. But, you know, other than cameras in their faces, cops hate hand in the pockets worse than anything else. And it's almost just a genetic or a response. Take your hands out of your pockets. Why? I don't know. I'm in charge and you're not. Don't do that. I'd rather keep the hands in the pockets at least for a while, because they can't hurt me if they're in the pocket. But this is just a police thing. Take your hands out of your pockets. I don't know why, but I want you to take your hands out of your pockets.
All right. Good point. Jeff, I haven't seen a video like this in a very, very long time.
Yeah, you know, actually, it speaks volumes, the fact that this guy didn't dump his gun prior to coming out, because he had to have known the police were there. And he was back where there was, you know, foliage and whatnot. So that speaks to me that he had some intent to probably kill this officer. And unfortunately for his girlfriend, he wasn't a very good shot. But you know, this shooting.
Unless he was, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, perhaps that's why he kept the gun, because he thought that would be an opportunity. But you know, at the end of the day, this shooting doesn't help the hit ratio for that department. You know, I think they probably fired 16 rounds, 15 in the magazine, one in the chamber, and then reloaded. It appears he wasn't hit until he tried to break into a neighboring home, and that occupant fired and hit the guy. But you know, the end of the day, that you just have to be careful, because this is probably a situation where you just think you're recovering a stolen vehicle, and you don't really necessarily have a direct nexus between these people that are coming out of the park area, this thing really just turned sideways real fast. And in regards to the, I couldn't agree with Brett more about the hands. You know, it's if someone has their hands in their pockets and they have a gun in their pockets, and you're telling them to take their hands out, they're doing exactly what you're telling them to do, and you're just not greasing the skids to put things into your favor. You know, give them some direct orders to face away from you, whatever. So it's going to take additional movement for them to be a threat before you have them take their hands out of their pockets or whatnot. But you know, Brett couldn't be more spot on than that, and that is something that for some reason we just. It just kind of is ingrained. It's like an inherent thing that we do, you know, get your hands out of your pockets. You know, hands kill, they do. But the things that are in their pockets with their hands are what's going to kill you. So you're perhaps better off keeping them where they are.
All right, Rich and Frank.
You know, I'll tell you, picking up on that point that Brett made, if you walk into any police station in New York City, into any of the locker rooms. Every member of the service is given a decal to write their name on, to put on their locker. And in big blue letters, it's the phrase, police, don't move, right? It doesn't say, police, take your hands out of your pocket. Because the idea behind it is when you encounter someone, especially if they got their hands in their pockets, police, don't move is the phrase. That buys you some time to take control of the situation and go from there. But, you know, Jeff and Brett, you guys hit it right on the head. Don't just tell people, take your hands out of your pockets, because they will. And this is the outcome, right? I love the fact that, you know, none of the cops were hurt. That is number one on my list, right? That's the number one priority. But I do have to ask, you know, how's the dog? The dog okay?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Frank Loveridge.
Well, Chip, I was just going to bring it back to some experience with the hands, because I know when Brett was bringing this up, I wanted to just jump in there real quick. But when you're working a rope line and you're with the President of the United States and you're watching the people on the front of that crowd, the one thing you're focusing on is their hands, because that's what's going to hurt you. That's going to hurt you when you're making a vehicle stop. That's going to hurt you when you're a police officer on the job and you get in these difficult situations, is because the hands are what you have to keep your eyes on. When they reach in their pockets, they pull out a pen. You've got to make a quick decision. Is that a knife? Is it a pen? Or is it a gun? Or is it something that could hurt the president? And we have to give verbal direction immediately to the individual. Get your hands out of your pockets. And you're watching. It says, the president has a pen. You don't need a pen. And whatever, we have to direct them verbally to make sure that we keep an eye on those hands, because that's what's going to get you. And Brett, 100%, I would do exactly the same thing. Flip them around, turn around, give yourself some time to react and be proactive. And that was a good call on that. So just
excellent. Yeah. Well, guys, we have just enough time to cover this last one. Drone footage shows a fatal shooting of a 72-year-old who points a gun at officers. It's at rumble.com, our favorite channel. This is Butter. I'm not going to say a lot about it because I want to give time for commentary, but we basically have our bad guys, the Illinois State Police, and the police end up shooting this guy. LaSalle Police Department is involved into it. And this guy exits the building numerous times. He has a gun in his hand. At one point, he fires it out the window towards officers. And after about an hour and a half of trying to talk the guy down, they bring in a SWAT team. And he, sure enough, he takes the gun. He's got to be, you know, he's got it like a chrome revolver. He's got it behind his back. And he takes it out with his hand and points it up at the cops. And it looks like it was I'm assuming a sniper shot. I'm curious what you guys think. His name is Daniel W. Curtin Sr., and not no more, though. So any commentary on this one, guys? We've got about 45 seconds, so.
Yeah, he went down like a bad habit, didn't he? He must have got him right between the running lights.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that he got hit with small caliber. That's fairly certain, so, yeah.
My goodness me. Well, I'm almost that age now, so I'm going to make sure I write that down. Don't point a gun at the police.
And they blurred it when he went down, and I'm sure that was there was a reason for that, too. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So, well, guys, any more commentary or anything before we wind it down? It's been another sensation. And now we know why the national media outlets don't allow Rich Steripoli and Frank Loveridge on at the same time. I mean, now it's blatantly obvious. So I just want to point that out. But you guys got to experience that on our show today. Thank you so much to Rich Steripoli, Frank Loveridge, for being on the day show. Jeff Wininger, and congratulations on today being the release date, the official release date for On Thin Ice at onthinicebook.org. And be working on the voiceover. If I get a copy, that I'll have to hide it from my wife. It's not going to be good for single women that have copy access to that. We'll have to figure out something. And Brett Bartlett, thanks for being on the show. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c. There, it's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So guys, if you're looking for an organization to support that's not going to embarrass you, please consider the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. A shout out again to our sponsors. We have Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, and Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com, FishOrlandoBass.com. And thanks for the support, guys. We will look for you back at tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.